Podcast Fans for Life podcast. I am your host, Landon Thomas, and I am joined by Shauna Vaz-McConney. We have a big episode to talk about Tim Hardaway Jr. and the shot that he has found. And then also the Mavs' three-game winning streak. They have won four out of the last five games. So Shauna Vaz, man, that Nuggets game was something else.
Crazy, stressful, jeez. But glad the Mavs were able to hold on for a win there. We've seen it time and time again. The Mavs build up a good lead and have not been able to hold it towards the end of the game. So this was definitely encouraging.
It definitely is. And speaking of encouraging, that flows right into the first topic with Tim Hardaway Jr. and how he's played ever since he's been in the starting lineup. He had a rough go in the first game in the starting lineup, but ever since, he's been playing out of this world in the last five games. He shot 5+ threes in the last five games, which is the 10th player to do it in NBA history. Just, Shauna Vaz, I just want to ask you, just what's your thoughts on how he's played ever since he's been inserted into the starting lineup?
I think it's been great. I mean, obviously, you've seen, like you said, you know, his first game against Milwaukee, he only had 6 points, played 21 minutes, so it wasn't great. You know, his kind of first addition back into the starting lineup. But the last five games, ever since that Warriors game, which, if you remember, that's the Warriors are the ones who kind of took him out last year in January, is when he got injured and had that foot injury. Yeah. So that was kind of his first battle against, you know, really coming back and being, you know, getting reacclimated to the starting lineup. People forget he started last year before Brunson was put in the lineup, I think in December. So, you know, those five games averaging, you know, 31 minutes, but 24 points a game on a very efficient 52% shooting from the field. And even better than that, 55% from three. There's been a lot of talk about the addition of shooters around Luka. Hardaway adds another element, because I think not only can he's not necessarily just a spot up kind of guy like you see Dorian and Maxey, but the ability for him to pump fake and move without the ball, I think, is really crucial for a team that relies so much on a guy like Luka. And I think he's starting to get his swagger and his confidence back, and clearly he's got the free rein to go ahead and shoot the ball even after his struggles coming off the bench. And so I think his addition to the starting lineup is great. And that, you know, I think it speaks to Jason Kidd as well, you know, coming into a game like this, or excuse me, into the stretch that we've been in, where, you know, the Mavericks have lost some games that they shouldn't have, and it's a lot of shooters have not been able to knock down shots, and his ability and his willingness to pull Reggie Bullock from the starting lineup and put Tim Hardaway Jr. in to shake things up has really helped for this team.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's a beautiful thing to see, honestly. Before he was inserted in the lineup, I mean, I voiced my opinion. You voiced your opinion. We all did on how he's played this season up to that point. And it was really hurting the team while he was out there, because he was playing a lot of minutes, but he was missing shots. And now that you see him making shots, you see what it does for this team. It's really nice to have four capable scorers that can score over 18 points on any given night, instead of just always relying on three of those top guys, with Luka and Dinwiddie, and then also Christian Wood as well. And to be honest, they don't bring it every night. I mean, it's always been Luka and Dinwiddie, or it's been Luka and Wood, and then every once in a while it'll be all three of them. But it's nice to have four guys who can get you a bucket, and it's good to see, because you're starting to see what we saw in the playoffs. You know, you're seeing what this team can do when they make shots. And you also see what this team looks like when they can't make shots as well. So it's exciting to see Tim Hardaway create that buzz for this team.
And I think it, I wonder if I could look up these stats later on and maybe we can talk about it next week, but I'm interested to see his numbers with Luka on the floor and with Luka off the floor, right? Because I think the fact that he's playing more with Luka Doncic, I think he complements Luka a little bit better. Again, going back to what I said about his ability to move without the ball, a lot of the shooters that we have, especially a guy like Reggie Bullock, who's really just a stationary guy and he just kind of sits in the corner. But Hardaway can move around the three-point line, can hit shots not only from the wing, but also from the top of the key as well. So I think his ability to really knock down shots from anywhere gives the Mavericks a little bit more flow to their offense as opposed to, you know, really the troubles that we've seen of everybody just kind of standing around and waiting, you know, waiting for Luka to drive and kick.
Yeah, and it just you brought up a good point because that's what it's been. And when he's moving around and he's making those shots, it makes your offense less predictable because they keen in on Luka. And I mean, you see it against the Nuggets. I mean, what he had 29, 30 points, Tim Hardaway, that is. And it makes it where Luka doesn't have to score all the time because they're going to double him, especially in the clutch. His usage rate is like 37, I think. And in the clutch, his usage rate actually drops down to 34. So that's showing that he's trusting his teammates. They just have to score. They just have to make those shots. And when they make their shots, like you see in the last three games, obviously this last game against the Nuggets last night was a 1-point game. But if you look at the Suns, I mean, 130 to 111. Then you look at the Knicks, 121 to 100. And it's just really, really, really good to see. Especially, we can go back to the Warriors game. That was a great game as well when players are making shots. And even though the Pistons game is kind of a wrinkle on the past six games or the past five games, it's still that they scored 125. So the defense was the problem that game, but it's good to see him make shots for sure.
And I think an underrated aspect of Tim Hardaway Jr. is also just his length and his ability. You know, Jason Kidd preaches, you know, steals, and we've seen the Mavericks really improve in that aspect, especially a guy like Luka Doncic, who has, you know, who's been putting up, you know, I think over a steal a game, which is good for him. And even Tim Hardaway Jr., the last five games that he's been in the lineup, he's averaging almost a steal and a half a game. And career, he only averages 0.6. So wow. His active hands as well, he's buying into what Jason Kidd's saying. He's, you know, I think his length is also somewhat of a problem. He's not the greatest on-ball defender. Nobody's going to confuse him for Dorian Finney-Smith, but, you know, at least the activity is there, and you can see that he's bought into kind of what Coach Kidd is preaching.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how the Mavs continue their shooting, because they're going to need it. I mean, when you look at their schedule, it's pretty brutal. You got the Bucks coming up in a couple of days on Friday. Luckily, that is at home, and they have played well at home. But then you have the Bulls, you have the Thunder, the Cavs, the Blazers, the Cavs, and then you have the Timberwolves back-to-back. So that's going to be the test. That's really going to be the test, because now they stand at 13-11, and with this three-game winning streak, I mean, they were 10-11. Now 13-11, this is kind of the stretch where you want to create some momentum, you want to create some buzz, and you want to beat some good teams like they did last night with the Nuggets. So I'm very curious to see how they play against the Bucks. Aren't you? That's like the big test coming in.
Yeah, that's the big test. I mean, obviously,
because Middleton's playing
with
so they got their whole team,
back, and I think. Yep, and with a guy like Giannis, I mean, it's always a tough game. And the Mavericks lost to the Bucks, last Sunday, you know, even without Middleton, and that was a game Giannis had 30. I think all five of their starters were in double figures. Bobby Portis was in double figures. That's the Grayson Allen game where he just went nuts, and You know, even then, the Mavs still only lost by 9, right? So it's, you know, you look at kind of a, it was a weird game, and it's been a struggle this season for the Mavs because it feels like they play down to their competition. So, you know, you see anomaly games like against the Pistons and the loss of the Thunder and things like that. And it's, and then you, you know, and then you kind of juxtapose that with the Mavericks blowing out the Suns, and it, you know, and it's really confusing, and it's really kind of disheartening as a Mavs fan to see that. But I think, you know, hopefully this change in the lineup and the 3-game win streak gives the Mavs some confidence going into probably their biggest test, you know, coming into December. You know, we talked about it a lot, you know, prior in the year that this was going to be their biggest stretch. And this is really, really where we were going to see this team. We're going to try to essentially figure out what this team is as we go into next year and get closer to the trade deadline. So, you know, this is a big, you know, a big test for the Mavericks, you know, as we kind of close out, you know, get into December and then close out the year. You know, the Bucks are a great team. You know, Cavaliers are not a team to be fooled around with. I mean, they've got one of the best defenses in the NBA. And now you've got Donovan Mitchell, who torched the Lakers last night. So, you know, it's a big test for the Mavs, you know, coming up here against really, really formidable opponents.
It really is. And speaking of test, last night was a test for Dorian. I mean, he's really shot the ball pretty poorly. Up until last night, he had 19 points, 7 of 13, 5 of 10 from 3. And that really makes him shine when he's hitting those threes. Because when he's hitting those threes, I mean, he's one of the top 3-and-D guys. But when he's not hitting them, it's really messes with the flow of the offense, because Luka creates that attention and then he creates wide open threes, and if you're missing those, it really takes you out of your offense, because that's what the offense is. Because before last night, I mean, his point totals just the past few games, 6 versus the Warriors, 6 versus the Pistons, 3 points versus the Knicks, and 3 points against the Suns, and then you get 19. I mean, that's something that you want to see trend in the right direction, especially with the schedule we just mentioned coming up for the Mavs.
Yeah, and I think the big thing, I love Dorian Finney-Smith. I'm a huge DFS guy. I think he's potentially a candidate finally to get some all NBA votes for the defensive team. You know, I think the one big thing that I really like about Dorian is that no matter how bad a shot is, he still is giving 110% on the defensive end. He knows he's a defensive stopper for this team, right? He's the guy who's going to guard the opponent's best player. You know, even on switches, you know, in this game, I mean, Bones Highland hit some crazy shots over him against the Nuggets, for the Nuggets last night, but all in all, Dorian Finney-Smith played a relatively good game. You know, I mean, it was Aaron Gordon, you know, on that mismatch against Tim Hardaway Jr. that really hurt the Mavs down the stretch. So, you know, I have full confidence in Dorian Finney-Smith defensively, and offensively, we've seen him struggle and seen him get hot. I mean, he doesn't let that get into his head, which I think is some of the main issues with like Maxey and with Reggie Bullock, is when their shots aren't falling, they're kind of, you know, they get in their own head and their confidence wanes, not only on the offensive side, but on the defensive side as well. And that's one thing that I know we don't see with Dorian. And that's a big key for this team, because if this team's going to stay top 10 in defensive efficiency, they need Dorian to be that stop.
Yeah, they really do. And we'll see what he does as this moves on. But he, like you said, that's one thing that I do like about Dorian. I mean, he is the heart beat of this team. He is the soul of this team,
and Luka trusts him. Like, you can see that pass that Dorian hitting that three last night. I mean, that was pure, you know, Luka got the double team trap with Murray and Jokic and the back, you know, behind the back pass, and without hesitation Dorian took that shot. I mean, he's got the full trust of his teammates and his coaching staff to put that shot up, and you know, it was great to see, because, you know, if had he hesitated, I don't know what would have happened. And I can't make any guarantees, but I can pretty much bet that if that was Reggie Bullock out there, Luka wouldn't have made that pass and would have looked for a different one instead.
Yeah, that's another point that you just brought up. Reggie Bullock, it's kind of sad to see, honestly, because, I mean, a few months ago in the playoffs, he was, I mean, top three, probably top three, top four beloved player on this team, just from a fan perspective and what you see online or Mavs Twitter. But now it's like he's missing every single shot that he takes, and he doesn't even take them anymore. I mean, his attempts have gone down, and you see when he's open, you saw it a couple times last night when he was open, he still passed the ball. So it's not just a shooting mechanics or a slump. It's also confidence. What do you think about that? Just from what he's done in last season and the playoffs to what you're seeing this season.
It's hard to explain, man. Like it's like the Josh Green syndrome, right? Where Josh Green we felt like he doesn't have any confidence in the world. The coaching staff doesn't have any confidence in him. And we saw him passing up wide open threes, and thankfully we've seen Josh Green turn that around. But Bullock's shot just looks flat, and he's always had a weird release on his shot, and it's never looked like it was going in. And last year in the playoffs, it did. And it's tough to see because the guy, I mean, like you said, he was such a key contributor for this team, but he's averaging 5 points a game on 30% shooting from the field. Like it's not, that's not starters' numbers. It's not that's end of the bench. That's depth numbers, right? A guy who just comes in and puts up 4 or 5 points a game. So it's hard to see. I mean, he's notoriously a slow starter. I think even his time with the Knicks and with the Lakers, and even with the Mavs, right? He started off slow and he kind of catches fire as the year goes on. So, if he can be that guy off the bench, I don't think, especially with the way Tim Hardaway is playing, if he'll ever regain that starting spot, but if he can be a valuable contributor off the bench, that's just going to help the Mavericks with their depth going forward. Right. And I think, as you see, games like Monday night against the Suns, where the Mavs are up, by a significant margin, hopefully Coach Cade can get him in there and let him take some shots and try to get his confidence back up. Cause right now it just seems like he's in his own head and just not hitting anything. And it's tough to see. Cause when he's knocking shots down, he's a very, very good 3-point shooter and a relatively good on ball defender. I mean, he was guarding, point guards all playoffs last year, right? He was the one who was on Chris Paul and Steph Curry. So, a guy like that is definitely going to be super valuable and super helpful for a Mavericks team that needs more depth. But until he gets a shot back, I mean, I think he's completely unplayable at this point, unless it's a blowout.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because not only did he lose his starting spot, he also moved down to basically third string because Josh Green goes in the minutes. Yeah, he's like the third wing that comes off after THJ and Josh Green. And you just look at his last two games, he played 25 minutes against the Suns. He only took two shots. And then against the Nuggets, he played 14 minutes. He only took one shot. And that's not who Reggie is. I mean, that's even if when he was playing like in the playoffs or just regular season, the second half of the regular season last season, even if his shot was off, he was still shooting and he had the confidence that they were going in. His confidence is not there right now. And it's sad to see because a few months ago he was on fire, just like THJ is now. So hopefully he does turn around, like you said, with the slow starts that he has had in his career, specifically the last handful of seasons that he's played. Hopefully he turns around, not just for the team, but just for himself mentally. You want to be strong mentally going into the second half of the season. Also want to talk about, because you brought up a point about kid with adjustments. I just want to elaborate on that point that you mentioned. What have you noticed about kid's adjustment in this 3-game winning streak? Do you think it's just a matter of them making shots, or do you think it's kid starting to bend and make adjustments and learn to play through his strengths?
I mean, I think it's a combination of both, right? You can't, you know, you can't say that the Mavs wouldn't be in this position, you know, on a three-game win streak if they weren't hitting their shots, right? But I think a lot of that, especially if you look back the last, you know, couple of weeks, you're slowly starting to see Jason Kidd make adjustments that we've all been clamoring for, right? JaVale McGee was unplayable, and he finally put him on the bench. I don't know what we're going to do with that contract, but that's Nico Harrison's decision at that point. But from Jason Kidd's perspective, I mean, he was so gung-ho on starting JaVale McGee and eventually realized, like, it's just not working, right? You know, I watching these games, I kind of understand him starting Dwight Powell and then going to Christian Wood, because it does give you another guy off the bench, essentially. And this team is you know, sorely lacking on depth. And look, Wood plays more minutes than Dwight Powell does. You know, the whole, you know, Dwight Powell starts and Wood off the bench. I mean, it Wood's playing with, you know, with Luka a lot of the time. He's playing with Dinwiddie. I mean, Jason Kidd's putting him in a good position, in a good position to succeed. We've seen him bend on Reggie Bullock, right? Putting THJ into the starting lineup. And more importantly, we've seen Josh Green more minutes, right? Green earned those minutes. And we've seen Jason Kidd put him in. And even in crucial situations, we've seen him put him, you know, him guarding guys like Devin Booker, you know, in the Phoenix game. So I think there's, I think he's bending to the things that he's been seeing over the first, you know, handful of weeks to the season. And this goes back to last year, right? We saw Jason Kidd make adjustments at that time when Hardaway was in the lineup and the Mavs were struggling. What did he do? Took him out, put in Reggie Bullock. Then he put in Jalen Brunson. And so, and that's when the Mavs caught fire in January towards the end of the year, all the way to the conference finals. So we've seen him do this before. And I know, you know, beginning of the year, we're all kind of like, all right, when is Jason Kidd going to do that? When is he going to make these adjustments? Why is he not seeing the things that we're seeing? As fans, we're just watching the game. You know, I kept saying that, you know, hey, let's give it time. Like, we've seen him do this. Like, let's let him work through the Kings. It's frustrating, and I get it, but at least we're starting to see slowly, we're seeing some improvements, and we're seeing some let up on his part to let, you know, the players that are actually contributing on this team play the most minutes, and the players that really fit better alongside Luka to play, you know, along with him on the court more.
Yeah, it is a combination of both. I still think he's learning this team. I think he's slowly learning this team, and it's something that he's learned over time. I know we wanted to see some decisions made sooner, but I think he's letting it play out, and we're finally starting to see a trend in the right direction with some of the decisions that he made. You mentioned McGee and Reggie Bullock, and then on the other side, and you know, inserting Josh Green more. I would like to see it go even further to see a third ball handler. If that's Hardy or if that's Kimba, I mean, just to see some sort of rest for Luka and Dinwiddie, because it's a long season. I mean, these guys can't keep playing 40 minutes and 34 minutes as the only two ball handlers when you have like four or five on the team. I mean, they might not be ready like Hardy or Kimba physically, but you got to give them. I'm not saying give them a lot, but you got to give them at least just 10 minutes a game. Just
you give them 10, 12 minutes here and there, right?
Yeah.
You give them 10, 12 minutes and at least see what they can do. I mean, you know, it's something that this team is sorely lacking. And, you know, I think the good thing for the Mavericks is that the Western Conference is kind of all jumbled right now. I mean, they're 2.5 games out of first. Right. I mean, and they've been playing as, you know, relatively poorly up until this last three game stretch. So I that's a good thing for Dallas. And I'm sure, you know, the coaching staff realizes that as well, is that, you know, there's not really, I wouldn't say a sense of urgency right now to, you know, to make or to really kind of, you know, to really kind of be stubborn with this, right? So they're, I think Kidd's kind of playing around with those lineups and trying to figure out what, you know, with the team that he's been given. Like you said, it's, you lose a guy like Jalen Brunson and you kind of have to relearn your team. Getting a guy like Tim Hardaway Jr. back, who didn't play, you know, much of the second half of the season last year, right? And even, you know, his first 2 months under Jason Kidd, he struggled a lot. So Kidd really doesn't know Tim Hardaway Jr. that well either in terms of, you know, the player and how he fits alongside this team. So I think Jason Kidd slowly is starting to learn that. And with the progression of Josh Green, he's starting to see kind of, okay, what, you know, what kind of complementary pieces we have that at this point in time, you know, what's going to be the best fit around Luka? Because ultimately that's the name of the game, right? Is how do you complement your best player? You know, and right now he has to deal with the cards he's been dealt. If we don't have that third ball handler, I'd love to see Jaden Hardy more. I'd love, you know, Kemba, you know, hopefully he's healthy and he can play, you know, a, like you said, 10, 12 minutes a game. But, you know, the Mavs have been in such close contests, it feels like, you know, in a lot of their games that it's kind of hard to pull the trigger and give a second-round rookie significant minutes. And I'd love to see him in blowouts like, you know, like we did against the Knicks, right? You know, we saw him play a good amount in the fourth quarter and we saw him play a little bit against Phoenix. So, you know, games like that, I would love to see Hardy come in and initiate the offense and give him a chance and really show what, you know, what, you know, show what kind of he's got and hopefully allow him to be a good bench piece as the season goes on.
Definitely, because he's like one of the only young guys on this team. And you definitely want to develop the young guys just alongside of Luka and Josh Green. But also like seeing kids' progression with using timeouts. That's been one of the big key areas because he usually holds them in his pocket, but he's been using them when the opposing team makes runs. So that's very good to see as well.
He did better. I know he called a timeout. I think Denver tied the game last night. At, I think it was 64 or 65 and he called the timeout and, you know, the Mavs kind of regrouped and, you know, really kind of got back their composure there. So it's nice to see, cause that's definitely been a struggle, you know, in the last, you know, the last few weeks at least.
Definitely. And then another thing I liked outside of a kid, just collectively as a whole, this team winning on the road in this 3-game win streak, two of them were on the road, Denver and then New York. When you look at just the season, the Nets were the only team that they've beaten on the road and they finally got a couple wins there. So you can finally say we can win on the road. We just have to stay locked in, play defense and also make shots. I mean, the defense still needs to improve. That's something I definitely want to see improve because Denver scored 115 and the Suns scored 111 and it was a ugly 111 as well. Like they should have scored less than 100 points the way they were playing and missing shots. Speaking of shots, make sure y'all check out Chop Shop Victory Park at the AAC on home and road games. Make sure y'all check out the good food, good customer service. I always like going up there and great drinks as well. They have specials, $5 Mav shots and $5 Roller Town. Big German. Sean DeVos, what are you looking forward to seeing from this team? Just, let's say, in the next 5 games.
Next 5 games are tough, man. Bucks, Bulls, Thunder, Cavs, and Blazers. You know, it's not an easy stretch there. You know, I mean, the Bulls are struggling, the Thunder are struggling, but, you know, I want to see the Mavs really kind of keep this continuity that they have. I want to see the continued improvement of Tim Hardaway Jr. And I want to see what happens when he has a bad game, right? I want to see when he goes 1 of 7 from three.
Yeah.
I want to see how the rest of the team kind of responds to that. And, you know, not necessarily a Luka takeover game, but I want to see guys like Dinwiddie step up. You know, I don't know how Dinwiddie played that bad in Denver when the guy went to, you know, Colorado, you know, and is, you know, went to the school there. He should be used to that Mountain Air by now.
Yeah, but they just got Coach Prime. He should be feeling good.
Exactly. I don't know what his deal was, but You know, if Hardaway struggles, I want to see guys like Dinwiddie and Josh Green and Dorian step up. You know, I want to see when the Mavs are faced with adversity, you know, what happens. I mean, this team, you know, even with their record at 13-11, has an expected win loss of 15-9, which would put them in third in the Western Conference. So they're playing down to their competition. You know, their games against the Bulls and the Thunder are going to be ones that I want to see them really take control of the situation and put them away early. And like you said, let the defense hold up and not, you know, get, you know, not let them creep back into the game where it's only a 8-point victory when it should have been a 20-point victory. You know, I think that's what I'm going to be looking forward here for the next few games.
Yeah, those are good points by you, Sean Navaz. What I'm looking forward to is just seeing Dorian Finney-Smith and Maxi Kleber just finding their shots. Obviously, Dorian had a breakout game against the Nuggets, and Maxi's been shooting pretty well the past few games. I just want to see both of them together make those shots and continue to make those shots, because when you have Luka, Dinwiddie, and Wood as your scorers, well, and now THJ as the top four scorers, you still need those two to just round them out and make shots. Because then when they're making shots and at least two of those top four scorers having a great night, most times you'll be at least in those games against good teams, and then be able to pull out at least half of those games against good teams and then beat the teams you're supposed to beat. So it's looking like an upward trend. They're on a 3-game winning streak. Like Sean Navaz and I mentioned, the schedule's going to be tough, but they did beat the Nuggets and they did beat the Suns. The Knicks, even with Brunson there, it wasn't, I guess we'll end with that. Sean Navaz, are you kind of disappointed in how that Knicks game went? Because it's been building up ever since Brunson signed there.
I wanted the Mavs to completely, you know, just destroy the Knicks. So I'm happy with that. I was not disappointed. Look, the whole narrative of Brunson leaving and you know, the whole talk leading up to it was, oh man, like, could we have done anything to keep him? And every, you know, kid was asked, Nico was asked, Mark Cuban was asked, Luca was, every media member was asking, like, hey man, like, what about Brunson? Even Brunson was asked, right? Like, do you miss Dallas? You know, what about the team? You know, JJ Redick on his podcast asked, you know, talked to Brunson about it extensively, and it's just like, it's over. Like, he left, he signed the deal there. Be happy for the guy. He got his money. He's a good player. He'll always be respected here for what he helped us do last year to get to the conference finals. Wish him the best of luck, but anytime he plays us, I hope it's the same outcome every time.
There you go, folks. I wanted a rivalry. I wanted something.
It's never a rivalry with the Knicks, man.
I know.
The Knicks are awful.
Not so much a rivalry, but even just something like a close game. Brunson and Luka going back and forth, because Luka's second in clutch scoring and Jalen Brunson is third in clutch scoring. So I wanted to see them go back and forth.
It's like the whole narrative when Julius Randle, like, didn't, you know, when he left the Lakers, it was like, why didn't the Mavs sign him? He's from Dallas, and he went to the Knicks, and it was like, everybody made a big deal about it. And it's like, who cares, man? It's the Knicks. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. All right. Well, folks, it's going to be a bumpy ride. Make sure you definitely lock in, because this is the time where the Mavs can move up in the standings. It's a little bit muddy where they're at right now, but the schedule's also tough as well. So they got to pull some of these games out, and it starts with the Bucks. I mean, yeah, the Nuggets and the Suns were good quality wins. I mean, you still have those minor notes that, you know, Chris Paul wasn't playing. Michael Porter Jr. wasn't playing, so they really didn't have their starting
five. Does Michael Porter Jr. ever play?
Yeah, I mean, that is true. That is true. But I know who is going to be playing. That's Chris Middleton. And when you have that starting five together, it's going to be an interesting game, and I'm excited just to see how the Mavs come out, because that's the biggest key. What's the score at halftime? I mean, that's what I want to see. Are they up? Are they within five, or are they within 15? You know, if they're within five, you really have something going on with this team, that they're trending in the right direction. If they're within 15 or 20 and the Bucks just, you know, dominate from the get-go, then you still need a level set saying, hey, what's going on? We need to make more adjustments. And then also, what's available on the market, you know, just see, because we're not there yet and we're still inconsistent. But if they win, you might see this team stick together, which could be a bad thing too. You could be a bad thing.
I don't know if Hardaway Jr. rebuilding his value, if that's going to lend to anything. I mean, that's a you know, point that we'll have to get to as we get into January and February. But the deadline's coming up, the December 15th, you know, when players who sign contracts this offseason can be traded. So I think we'll start seeing some moves here in the next couple of weeks, at least minor ones. And you know, this is the time where you start getting those rumors and you know, teams are looking for this. And you know, we've heard a couple of names like John Collins and things like that being floated around, you know, in the NBA universe. So it'll be interesting to see as kind of teams start separating themselves over as we get into 2023, you know, what's going to be available.
You heard it, folks. Sean Avaz, last words for the pod. What you got for me?
Tim Hardaway Jr., I was wrong. My apologies, sir.
Our apologies, because
our apologies.
I said the same thing. But honestly, that's what you want to see. You speak the truth when they're playing bad. You speak the truth when they're playing good. This episode is a tribute to Tim Hardaway Jr. finding his shot. We appreciate it. Goodbye, everyone.